Hey, so this morning we're going to be talking about the devil. And actually for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking, I've titled this, Getting to Know Your Adversary, the Devil. Getting to Know Your Adversary, the Devil. There's probably going to be part one, which is today. Part two, that'll be next week. Part three will be the following week, and possibly a part four, depending on if he's beating me up real bad or not. That's because when you speak about Satan and you preach and teach about Satan, what you do is you make yourself a target, right? Because you make him mad, because I'm not going to talk nice about him, right? And so as we go through the next few weeks, please be praying for me, because I'm going to be exposing your enemy. And I'm just going to tell you that we do have an enemy. And it's not your spouse. It is. It's not your family member. Might be your boss. I don't know. No, but we have a real enemy, and his name is Satan. And that's what we're going to talk about today and the weeks to come. And if you would, turn your Bible to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. And as we look at this, you guys, and I know you remember because you're like that. You remember what I preached 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And right, 10? And so remember I was talking about who's a 10? And I had a couple people raise their hand that said they were a 10. And I was like, okay, we're going to be talking about humility today. And you guys remember that? And so we're going to go back to 6, 1 Peter 5, 6. And it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then last week, I talked about being sober and being vigilant, right? Be sober, be aware, be clear-headed, and then be vigilant, be aware, to stay aware of everything that's going on. You know, when I was on vacation, and it's just because who I am, right? Because I grew up in a rough way. And so for me, I always sat with my back to the wall so no one could come up behind me. And I've always observed, right? And I stayed clear-headed so that I wouldn't get caught in a trap or whatever. And I was vigilant. I was always aware. As a matter of fact, even to this day, we were on vacation and we stopped. We were up in Maine. we've been like everywhere. And I think we've put just over 2,000 miles in the last week and a half on the motorcycle. And so it's been a good ride. And but we're up in Maine and they had the TV on, and the TV was behind us. And so I sat with my back against the wall, obviously, so I could see the whole restaurant. But then the fights came on. And I'm a big MMA fan, and I went, oh man, I want to see this. So I was like in this massive turmoil. Do I just do this? Or do I just move my chair around and just like, yeah, enjoy the fights? And so I was like, I'm going to move my chair around. I don't know anybody here. So I moved my chair around and I'm looking at the fights and I was like, someone's coming up on me. And so I couldn't take it no more. So I moved it back and just listened. And so, you know, like it was, right? What do you want to do? You want to be vigilant. And that's what we talked about. And so we have to be aware and we have to be vigilant. And then look here in verse 8, because your adversary, the devil, very specific. Not only is it specific, but it's your adversary. Now it's personal, right? Don't think this is my adversary. No, this is your adversary. And who's your adversary? Who is your enemy? The devil. Don't think for a minute that he is not out to take us down, to trip us up, to strip us down to nothing, to put you before the world as no good, to take you before God and talk about you and accuse you. And we're going to see verses of this over and over again. We're talking the adversary, and he is a little sneaky snake, man. Oh, don't think for a minute this dude isn't shrewd. He's got more ways to conquer you than you can think. And he'll use each and every one of them. So when we talk about the devil, your adversary, my adversary, he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so let's pray again, and then we're going to get into this. And I'm just going to go until I'm out of time. That might be 3-4 o'clock-ish. We'll be okay. If you're visiting, don't freak out. You'll get out eventually. Nobody will keep you just for a short time. And we'll go through, and then I'm just going to stop. Like, if I don't make it all the way through this, then we'll pick up next week where I drop off, because this is so important for us to understand. Amen. And no, you would never want to go into a war not knowing who your enemy is. You don't want to do that, right? Because you don't know who you're fighting. And you want to know who your enemy is. And that's why we are going to discuss Satan. Let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray your hand upon me. Father, I pray your power upon me. Father, I pray a hedge of protection about me, Lord, as I speak against your enemy and our enemy. And Father, that you're glorified. Father, strengthen me, strengthen my voice. Father, strengthen this room. Allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in here. Father, for where the light is, darkness cannot exist. And so, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit have free reign in this room and Satan have none. Lord, we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Peter identifies Satan as our adversary, and he is the devil, right? And he's not only the adversary of God, he's our adversary. And we see this in scripture. Look here in Job 1:6-8. It says this, Job 1:6-8. And guys, I'm going to be flying today. So just kind of buckle up and ride this ride, hang in there with me. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them, which this passage blows my mind. And I'm going to tell you why, because this means that they're having meetings in heaven and Satan is allowed to come back into heaven and have meetings with God. Okay, right, just saying. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Listen, where do you come from? Man, I am coming from scouring the earth. Why? He's looking for somebody to take down. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're actually in the best place you can be when it comes to Satan, because that means he's not your enemy, right? So you don't have nothing to worry about. Man, you're his friend. As a matter of fact, in John 8, and we'll get there, it says that Satan, oh, this is where it's going to offend some, but don't get up and leave, because then we'll know you're the one that was offended. But here's what happens, right? It says this, that Satan is your daddy. That's what it says. I'm not kidding. We're going to get there. And you're like, Satan's not my father. If you don't know Jesus, yes, he is. Because that's the family that you're in. And you go, I don't like to hear that. I don't like to tell you. That's why I say it in a joking manner, but I'm incredibly serious about you getting up and leaving. And so when it says here, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. What, Lord, you're handing over your child? You're handing over your child to Satan to be used and abused? Guys, don't even think that as a saved person that you are exempt from the attacks of Satan. Number one, he'll attack you just because he wants to trip you up. He wants to cost you your testimony. He wants you to live like a fool so that they don't believe Jesus is real, because what's the difference between your life and his life? Nothing, right? Why do I need Jesus? You bunch of hypocrites, right? I mean, that's I didn't call you guys. I'm just like, that's what someone would say. And so, but look here, lighten up, guys. And so look here, it says, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. This dude is righteous. He's upright. He's blameless. And he fears me. And I'm going to give him to you on a platter. But you can't do this and you can't do like he set stipulations that Satan can't do. And I find this incredibly interesting. Why does God first off meet with Satan in heaven? And why does Satan have the right to come back into heaven? I don't get that. God does, obviously. And then second, why would God give up one of his? Things that make you say, that's another message for another day. And so what we see is in Zechariah 3:1. Because I'm going to tell you, Satan is vicious and he's relentless and he just wants to take you and I down. That's all he wants to do. Then he showed me Joshua. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, Joshua was a man of God, right? Joshua was stout. He was a warrior, man. Like, Joshua is my kind of guy. And watch what happens. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, which would be Jesus here. And Satan. And Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To do what? Come on, guys. To oppose him. Here Jesus is with Joshua, and there is Satan right here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Lord. Send him out. Send him out, Jesus. I will trip that dude up. I will do all I can to take him down. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. Think, God. Okay, let me read this again, because some of you are sleeping. Elbow the one next to you. Easy. Don't damage him. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest. The high priest. Let me tell you, Joshua is the man of God. Do you get this? Do you see what's happening? The man of God. Do not think you are exempt from the attacks of Satan. Standing before the angel of the Lord, standing before Jesus, looking at Jesus, and Satan is at his right hand to oppose him. Guys, I'm telling you, nobody is safe except for the unbeliever. Are you paying attention to society today? Society says we're the crazies. Doo, 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 doo. We're it. But I'm here to tell you, this isn't crazy. This is real. And the reason they think we're crazy is because they follow their father, the devil, John chapter 8. Right? And so we see here, listen, Satan is not only the adversary of God, but Satan is also our adversary. And he is a relentless enemy to all of God's people. So let's understand the term adversary, right? Go to that. I'm gonna blow this. I had it down this morning. I looked it up, went back into the Greek so I could say it clearly. And now today, I'm like, Adversary was used as a technical term. You guys can read it. Technical term meaning, do you see what the term means? Legal opponent. Why does it mean legal opponent? It's legal because God has allowed him to take that place. God's allowed him. And you're like, God's allowing him? God kicked him out of heaven and allowed him to be the prince and the power over the earth. It's legal. You don't see when we read Job, you didn't see where Satan shows up and God's like, what are you doing on the earth? You don't belong there. You didn't hear that. You didn't see it nowhere in Scripture. As a matter of fact, when we read in the New Testament and we go into Ephesians and we go into Corinthians and he says he's the prince and the power of the air, which we believe to be the airwaves, right? The airwaves, because he's not the ruler over oxygen. He's not the ruler over the wind. Only God can tame the wind. What's he the ruler over? The airwaves. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? His kingdom is where? On the earth. Here where we live. And so adversary is a legal opponent. One that God has allowed. That is crazy. Why would God allow such an opponent against us? That is a great question. I'm glad you asked it, and we'll answer it in a minute. As well as any kind of enemy who was seriously and aggressively hostile. Look at the terms. Seriously and aggressively hostile. That is the definition of adversary. An opponent who was enemy, seriously and aggressively hostile. This is our opponent, guys. This is who I'm talking about. Getting to know our enemy, our adversary, the devil. This is him. Please don't think you're exempt. Oh, you're not. You will either be attacked by Satan or you'll be used by Satan. One or the other. And it depends on where you stand with God will depend on how Satan uses you or attacks you. Oh, don't think you're exempt. Oh, please. Remember we talked about pride? Do not have so much pride that you think you can outsmart the devil, because you can't. He will take you down. Oh, he'll drown you. Oh, my goodness. He is so... Oh, this dude's slick, man. He's what we call slicker than eel snot. You know what I'm saying? And so if you never heard that term, now you have. Here we go. The term devil, the next slide, please. The term devil or diabolos takes this opposition to the level of a malicious enemy who slanders or attacks. Satan slanders us and he attacks us, even when we don't know it. I'm telling you, this dude's vicious, right? You ever think that you're friends with someone and then you find out later that they were going behind your back to destroy you? Oh, look, as a pastor, my life. And so it's really, it's so interesting, right? And so I'm really cautious and I pay attention. And then when I find out, never mind. Okay. So I'm just kidding, right? Three times Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, ruler small r, Satan, right? And then we see here in John 14:30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, the ruler of the world, Satan. And then the last one is John 16:11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan is the ruler of the world. And you're like, what? Now, he doesn't rule over God. Let's not go too far. But he has free reign to rule the world. You notice the Bible says that we're going to a cashless society. How close are we to a cashless society? Yeah, the Bible says that in the end times, not the end of the world, but the end as we know it to be, that the end times, right before the end of times, it says that good will be evil and evil will be good. Right will be wrong, wrong will be right. Are we there? It says that lawlessness will not keep the law, meaning that the law won't keep the law. The government won't keep the law. Why do you think they're able to do all the atrocities that they're doing today publicly? And it's because they're not keeping the law. And the only way you can bring this country down is if you break the law, because there were so many things put in place by our forefathers to protect us. No, he's the ruler of the world, and he has put evil in office. And now we have this world of perversion. And I say world, you know, that's how we know it's of Satan. It's not just America. The whole world is about to get, you know what I'm saying? And so we see that he is the ruler of the world simply through scripture. The devil commands the demonic realm and administrates the human fallen world system. The devil's got this world. I'm telling you, he is the ruler. God is all powerful, but I'm going to tell you, Satan is powerful, and God allows him to do certain things. And why? Why would God allow Satan to do certain things? Well, I think, and of course, this is my opinion, and if I searched it out, I would give you scripture. I just don't have it today. So I'm going to give you my opinion. I'll give you scripture later. But you know, like those of you who are married or you're looking to get married, do you want your spouse or future spouse to love you because they loved you, or to say they love you because you're paying them to, however that looks? Right? Yeah, look, you want your honey to look at you and go, honey, huh? Right? I mean, that's what you want. You don't want your honey to go, give me and I'll tell you what you want to hear, right? You don't want that. And so, Joe, dude, you keep it up. Somebody's going to punch you in the other eye. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, listen. So hold on, man. I love you, man. And so she did it. Yeah, that's what happens. You weren't loving her. Dude. Anyway, listen. So here's what happens. God's like, you know what? Satan's going to have some rule and reign over the earth. It's his kingdom. We'll let him have it. Because if you love me, you're going to love me because you love me. If you're going to love me, you're going to love me because you love me. It has nothing to do with strength. It has everything to do with who I love. And so if we love God, that's who he wants. Those who, listen, if you decide Jesus, you're going against the current. Let me help you out here. You're going against the current. And so if you love Jesus and you're public about it, that's what God wants. Amen? That's what God wants. God wants people to go, he's my God, Jesus is my Savior, and not ashamed of it. And so I think that God allows this oppression because if you choose Jesus, it's legit. Amen? And so at any rate, the devil commands demonic realm and administrates the human fallen world system. And he does this through personally by himself and his surrogates, the demons. Yeah, he uses demons. Please, please, please do not think that demons are a joke because they will take you down. They will take you down, right? And so when we see this imagery of like a roaring lion that Peter uses in 5:8, then what we see is that it comes from the Old Testament. Psalm 7:2. A lion is eager to tear his... Look at that. Oh, my goodness. The Bible, God says that Satan is like a lion, and I need you to watch and pay attention to what a lion is like, right? Because we want to understand our prey, amen? Or who's preying after us, our enemy. As a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Young lion. What's the difference between just a lion and a young lion? Man, a young lion is aggressive. He's sneaky. He's got strength. That young lion, man, he'll get you way faster than an old crippled lion, amen? And so we see a significant difference. Then I want you to look here in Psalm 10, 9 and 10. And this is really interesting. I'm going to have to explain a couple of things to you guys because some of you are going to look at me and go, Pastor, this goes against everything you taught me. Not the scriptures, but never mind. We'll talk. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. And if you notice, he is capitalized. And this is what I want to point out because in the New King James, if you guys remember, we say, hey, if he is capitalized, it's speaking of Jesus. If he is not capitalized, it's speaking of someone else, a man or whatever. And then here we're like, wait a minute, he lies in wait. Well, that's the beginning of the sentence. So he is going to be capitalized. And then we see he lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. And if you notice, he catches the poor when he, small h. Here's why. And I put this up. And so go to the, like, not the next verse, but the next slide, and then get ready to come back. So I'm challenging you today, man. Go to the next. There we go. Nope. Come on, dude. What are you doing, man? Look. All right. So I want you to see, it says, it is important to know that semicolons, right? So we're going to go back at this verse, but I need you to see this. And I took this because I researched it and I was like, how can I explain this intelligently without looking silly and looking like I don't know what I'm talking about? So I came up with this scenario. I'm just kidding. So I did. I went back and I started researching English and punctuation and how it all does. And it's like, why is the Bible capitalizing he when it's clearly Satan that we're talking about? Well, here's why. A rule of English literature, language, or punctuation, or if you're a teacher, you can correct me later. It is important to know that semicolons can be used to connect related sentences instead of a full stop, like a period. For example, when you use an elliptical construction, you can look up what an elliptical construction is later. For time's sake, I don't have to explain it, but you can look it up. When you use an elliptical construction, the first word following a semicolon should be capitalized. Okay, now please go back to that verse. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den, semicolon. He lies in wait to catch the poor, semicolon. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net, period. Now you see why he is capitalized. It's still Satan, but I wanted to explain why. So that you didn't go, wait a minute. Pastor, you've always said he, if it's capitalized as Jesus, this is the exception to the rule. Okay? So that way, because if you're reading it, you clearly see he lies in wait secretly. We're talking about Satan. And so I just wanted to explain this. Now you guys got it. Fantastic. Let's move on. Verse 10. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. I'm telling you guys, got to be ever so careful. Next verse, please. Revelation 12, 3 through 4 says this. Did I not give you 17:12? Psalm 17:12. Yeah, pull it up like we did it on purpose. Ah, there we go. Like we did it on purpose. As a lion is eager to tear his prey, eager to tear his prey. Guys, do you realize what happens when a lion gets hold of you and tear, or gets hold of his prey and tears it? It's death. It is death. Or at best, crippled. As a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. And so we see it again, this imagery, and that it comes from the Old Testament. Look here in Ezekiel 22:25. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things, and they have made many widows in her midst. Oh, please understand, we're dealing with a powerful, powerful enemy that will, let's call Satan the widow maker. Well, we can do that scripturally. Never mind. All right, so I want you to see that, as we see in the scriptures, Satan is vicious and he is a hunter and he pursues his prey, meaning that he goes after and he devours, right? They have devoured. Devour has the sense of to gulp down, emphasizing the final objective, not to wound, but to destroy. Are you guys seeing Satan's ultimate goal? He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to hurt me. He wants to destroy us. How can he destroy us? Man, you guys ask the best questions. Here's how he can destroy us. There's two ways. And you go, really, two ways? Well, ultimately, there's two ways. One, if you're not saved, he will keep putting things in your way to prevent you from getting saved. Because he wants you to go to hell with him. See, hell was put there for the angels, the fallen angels, the demons, for Satan and his allies, right? And then people fell. And so now they're going to join Satan in the lake of fire. And so if he can destroy you, he can destroy you either by preventing you from getting saved, meaning that he keeps putting the lie in your face, the lie in your face, the lie in your face, and you keep believing the lie and denying Christ. And then when you die, you go to hell. I can say this real colorful and nice, but I don't have time. And so that's one. The second way that he can destroy you is your testimony. Your testimony. Make you look like a hypocrite. That way nobody believes you. You're fruitless. You have no testimony. You have no power. You have no strength. And they look at you and they go, you hypocrite. Why are you preaching to me? Like, I've seen parents tell kids how to live, and then the kids look at them and go, really? You're going to tell me? You're going to tell me? Look at you. You go out and you're drunk all the time. Look at you. You swear. Look at you. You do this and you do that, and you're going to tell me? Like, my dad used to smoke cigarettes. And when I was a kid, and he'd tell me, boy, don't you smoke. I'm like, yeah, Dad, I got it. Right? Right? I mean, let's just be real. I want to be like my dad. So if he's telling me not to do it, I'm like, dude, but you're so cool with that thing hanging out your mouth. Smoke rolling out your nose. Oh, and the smoke rings are awesome. I got to learn how to do that. Right? You guys understand what I'm telling you? And so Satan will either keep you out of heaven by keeping you distracted so you don't follow Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or he's going to destroy your testimony. He's going to trip you up. He's going to get you saying things you shouldn't say so that people look, oh, you're a Christian, and listen to your mouth. Yeah. Oh, look what you do. Oh, go ahead, tell me about Jesus as you're popping a top to another can or pulling a cork from the wine bottle. I really want to hear what you got to say. You've destroyed your testimony. He'll take you out if he can. You better protect it because, look, devour is not to wound you. It is to destroy you. And it's funny because I went online and started researching, and there was so much, and I thought, man, another day, another time. But it talks about Christianity being a toxic religion now. Christianity's toxic. And you know what they do? First, they pull scripture way out of context, right? I just want to, okay. And then the other thing that they do is they use examples of Christians. And how Christians act. So now they've taken scripture out of context to mean one. And if you just read it, but you don't understand it, you're like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. But that's not it, right? It's not the truth. It's just the truth twisted. And we're going to talk about that too. And so he's gonna twist the truth, which he does. And then this guy is so eloquent with words. And I'm reading it, and I'm like, dude, that's not true. That's not true. Like, I'm getting upset. I'm like, that's not true. I take blood pressure medicine. That's not true. That's not true. And it's like, but that's how Satan convinces the world that the Word of God and Christians are toxic. Because homosexuality is wrong, guys. It's wrong. Divorce is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Drunkenness is wrong. It's not that we hate the people. We just say all of this is wrong because the scriptures say it's wrong. We can't support that into the world. That's hate. That's hate. And therefore, we're toxic. See how? And since the majority of the world doesn't know Jesus, I'm not judging. The scriptures say the majority is going to go to hell. The narrow, the few are going to make it to heaven. Not because it's hard to get there, but because they don't want to surrender their life to Christ. They want control. That's how it works, right? And so we're not going to believe in Jesus. And so therefore, Christianity is narrow-minded, bigoted, hateful, and toxic. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Oh, we want to do what's right. Oh, no, you're hateful. Well, we encourage families to stay together. Oh, no, you're hateful. Well, because we encourage families together? No, because you're hateful. It's like, okay, I think I understand. I don't. At any rate, right? Because they get in that. Never mind. All right, here we go. I'm just telling you guys, the world thinks now that we're toxic and Satan is using that to devour us, right? And Peter would clearly understand this thing about the roaring lion and how lions would act, because you got to remember the Romans threw the lions in to the arena and then sacrificed Christians, and the lions devoured the Christians as a sport. So Peter would clearly understand what it is for the lion to devour and to consume and to destroy. He had a great visual. Today, if someone visualized that, they would have complete meltdown and need drugs and psychiatric care the rest of their life. But in Peter's day, this was the norm. This was the norm, right? And so, at any rate, Peter would have known that. So Satan's opposition to God and believers is behind the human enemies that we have, and is also we see against God and God's word. Revelation chapter 12, if you were to go and study this out, it's actually the watershed passage for all that I'm talking about. And it draws the battle lines in this long war with God and the enemies of God or God's kingdom. Revelation 12, 3 through 4. Check this passage out. This is gonna, anyway, look here. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Next. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Who are we talking about? Satan, right? And so his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. Who's the woman? You're going to find out here in just a second. Stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. I am going to tell you that, okay, but pull up Isaiah 14, 12 through 16. We're going to talk our way through this. This is Lucifer, Satan. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Next, please. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan's like, I'm going to be like God. Next, please. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning star, Satan, the devil, any name you want to say it, you will be brought down to the lowest depths. You will be in the bottom of the pit, of the fiery pit, which is hell. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? Oh, we followed this. We followed that because God is going to consume Satan. Make no mistake. But today, I will be like God. I will sit on the throne. I have my kingdom and I will destroy and devour you. That's his goal right now. If you're denying Christ, that means you're serving Satan, and ultimately you're going to be there with him, and you're going to look at him and you're going to go, this is the one that made the earth tremble. This is the one that I followed. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. It'll be too late because that means you're there with him. It'll be too late. I'm just telling you, Satan, oh my goodness, guys, you got to get this. And then I didn't put this up. Don't pull it up. But for those of you who like to take notes, Ezekiel 28, 1 through 19 talks about the same thing. And the ones who are not bound in the lake of fire now, because there are some that are already bound in Sheol, the grave. For those that are not bound, they're the forces behind the world system and the evil that's going on today. And God's children are usually the ones that, no, they're the only ones that we wrestle, right? We wrestle against Satan. We wrestle against the deception and the temptation that comes from our flesh. And then we're actually wrestling with and contending with demonic strategies. Satan is very strategic, guys. Very strategic. Ephesians 6, 11 through 12 tells us how we can help overcome it. But look here what it says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deception, the trickery, the evilness, everything that you want to put in there, the wiles of the devil. You got to put on the armor of God. What's the armor of God? It's the word of God. And if you read 6 through 18, you'll see the armor of God and all that it entails. And it says here, but above all, when you read it, and I think it's in 18, don't worry, but don't pull it up. But in 18, I think it says, above all, that means the most important thing, listen to me, faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith. Above all, if you don't have faith in Jesus, none of the armor matters. Nothing else matters. And you are doomed, and you are a child of Satan, and you are condemned to hell until the day you say, Jesus, I give my life to you. See, I'm just telling you that he is deceitful and he tricks us, man. He just wants to take you down and make you think. And I got stuff for you. I'm going to back up just for a second. Look here in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Listen, this old flesh can't battle against Satan, man. We need to be in God to pull down Satan and all of his strongholds. Look here at the next verse. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Arguments. What do we have today? Oh, we have knowledge, but never coming to the learning of truth, right? And so what does that create? Arguments. What kind of arguments? Oh, we serve a false God. God's not real. God's our imagination. All you people are toxic, blah, 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 blah. That's the arguments, right? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So anything that is anti-God, anti-Jesus, is of Satan. Please stop saying it's okay. Oh, they really mean well. No, they don't. They're a child of Satan. They don't mean well. They're lost. Oh, but they got such a good heart. No, the Bible says they're evil. You go, but it's my child. I don't care. Look at Scripture. We have to stop justifying sin because we feel bad or we don't want to judge anyone. Are you kidding me? Call a spade a spade. I'm not telling you to be hateful. What I'm telling you is don't be deceived and don't get caught up in these sinful arguments. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Anything that's anti-God, you pull it into captivity. You take control of it. Right? That's what the Scriptures say. Because if we don't do that, guys, we're doomed. I'm telling you, we are doomed. And Satan and the demons, they hide unseen in the spirit world. Right? We're not going to always see them. But they do their work through humans. And you're like, what? Yeah. Check this out. Man, I got Scripture for you. Because you know I never have script. No, I'm kidding. 1 Timothy 4:1-12. Look here. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times. Okay, let me help you out. Are you ready? We're in latter times. Just for the record, we're here. This passage is talking about today. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, notice this capital S, the Holy Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Oh, how many times we hear on radio and on TV, I used to believe in God, and these people who sing all these songs about Jesus, now all of a sudden they don't love Jesus. I left the church because the church just wasn't fulfilling. Well, your problem was you left the church because you never had Jesus. Because if you got Jesus, the Bible says it's impossible to taste the goodness of Him and then deny Him. So anybody that denies the faith, denies Jesus, you are not saved. You never were saved. Get rid of the idea. And if you're here and you justify somebody that talks like that, you're wrong too. According to Scripture, not me. Just helping you out there, right? That in latter times, someone depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines and demons. How about all these pastors now from the pulpit who are encouraging homosexuality, who's saying it's okay to be gay? God made you that way. That's from the pit of hell. What are you? You know what you are? You departed from the faith and you are giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons and you're preaching anti-Scripture completely against God, leading people to hell. And not just leading them there, but taking them by the hand and like, and then booting them into it. Guys, I'm telling you, we got to be so aware. Please do not give in to these demons. Because Satan will use people. And I hear all the time, people are like, oh, I was talking to some ladies here a couple weeks ago. And they said, Pastor, will you do me a favor? Will you do a podcast on sorcery? I was like, yeah, why not? It was a two-part series. I could have done 3 and 4, but we stuck with two because my voice couldn't handle much more. So we did a two-part series on sorcery, right? But then they said this, well, Pastor, our friend, she's saved. She's a Christian, but man, she's just gotten caught up in this sorcery and she really likes it. You're not saved. You can't embrace that and encourage that and tell people to get involved in that and be a child of God. And the scriptures clearly say that. Listen to my podcast. I throw scripture out there too, explaining it. Because the scripture says that you can't believe in that, you can't do that, you can't participate in that and be a child of God. See how crazy it is, right? Giving, you depart from the faith, meaning that when, if you go back and you look in the Gospels and it talks about how some seed was planted in the path, some was in the stones, some was in the thorns and the thickets, right? And that stones, right? It's like it sprouted real quick, but it didn't have no root, right? Because it got burned up. And a lot of people, they're like, oh, I like they'll come in here. I don't hear this a whole lot, but they'll come in here like, dude, pastor's awesome. I love his preaching, right? And so they're like, get all on fire. And then when they're held to the fire to walk with Jesus, they back out. And they're like, oh, man, you know, it's like, it was a moment. I had a lapse. I don't know what happened to me. And that's what it is. Like they get caught up emotionally. And then when they get home and everything dies down, they're like, oh, yeah, That's departing from the faith. You heard the truth. It ain't for me. And you depart. And so then what do? You give heed. You surrender to Satan and deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Look here in verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And Satan just solidifies your his. You got to love scripture. Amen. I'm just saying he does work through humans and we will be no different if we're not holding on to Jesus. Let me give you some examples very quickly. Revelation 12:4, which we already read that, right? About the dragon is Satan, the woman is Israel. If you'll pull that up. Yeah. So the dragon is Satan, the woman is Israel, and the child is Christ. And so Satan literally is waiting for Christ to be born so he can destroy him. That's all he wants to do. And then we see Herod. Remember Herod who said he was going to slaughter all the male children age 2 and under around Bethlehem, Matthew 2, 13 through 18. And if you look here, it says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take this young child and his mother. Flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What is it about a 2-year-old that Satan or that Herod wants to kill? Except for he's moved by Satan. He's moved by Satan, right? Satan, listen, he's possessed. I'm telling you, a demon possession is real. And he's possessed. He's using humans to fulfill his job. Satan is. And it says, now when they had, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Keep going, please. And was there until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Satan, listen, I'm telling you, Satan was coming in and just wanted to destroy him. And then he attempts to defeat Christ, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, we see where Jesus is tempted, right? And Jesus fasted 40 days. If you'll pull up Matthew, just I know I'm jumping ahead. Just ride this train, baby. We're almost done. I'd love to get through this. And so in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, if you guys want to write that down, what do we see? We see where Satan is tempting Jesus. Why? Well, if I can get Jesus, because what did he want to do with the child in Revelation? He wanted to destroy him. He wanted to conquer him. He wanted to take hold. So now, if Satan can trip up Jesus in Matthew chapters 1 through 4, where he was tempted, he wins. But what I love is Jesus responds and Jesus says, "With what? How does he respond? With scripture. With scripture. Dude, you, man, how much money do I got? Whatever's there is yours. Man, you got to get lunch on me, baby. That's what I'm saying. You left me broke, but I think. Let me see. No, look at that. There's another dollar. That's going to buy you a meal, something. All right. But look here. Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. When the tempter came, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." He answered and said, "It is written." Listen, if you're going to conquer Satan, if you're going to beat Satan, if you're going to be strengthened, you better know Scripture. You better hold on to the verses. Because if you don't hold on to the verses, you're going to get your butt handed to you. Literally. It's going to be harsh. It's going to be hard and it's going to hurt. And so then we see that, and I'm jumping, so ride with me here, if you will. Then we see that Judas Iscariot, right? He was also willing to be a pawn of Satan. And we find this out in Luke 22:3. Watch this. In Luke 22:3 says this. Then Satan did what? What did he do? Entered. You guys are weak. What did he do? Entered. He entered Judas. For what? To stop Christ. To end Christ. Because if we can get Christ out of the way, guys, we have no way of getting to heaven. And so this attack was constant. Look here. Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot. That's his last name, for those of you who don't know, who was numbered among the 12. What did he do? He took one of the original apostles and worked in his life to where he didn't believe in Jesus. And you know what? Some of you, you're Judas. You're in here, meaning that you're running with the crew of Christians, but you're not really a Christian. And when the pressure comes on, you're going to melt. Ugh. Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Look here in John 13:27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Now we know exactly when Satan possessed him. And they were sitting at the table. Jesus and the 12 apostles were sitting at the table having dinner, and Satan enters him at the table. Do you get where... There's no place off limits for Satan except for where God tells him. No, no. They're at the dinner table, guys, with Jesus. Do you understand how vulnerable we are if we don't hold the hand of Jesus, if we don't stay in the Word of God? Look how real this is, guys. If you don't believe this, obviously you're not saved, but look at this. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do it quickly." Jesus called him out right there at the table. Calls him out. Oh, don't think that you are, don't think that you're exempt from Satan's power. And just like today, the politicians, I don't know if you heard, but Biden was on the radio the other day, or TV or whatever he's on. He doesn't know, neither do I. And so if you're a conservative Christian or you're conservative, oh, he doesn't like you. Straight up said it. And I went, publicly, you have cast out 3/4 of America? Publicly? See, Satan is bold. He's bold. And at the dinner table with Jesus, he enters Judas. Guys, don't think you're exempt. Oh my goodness. And then Satan used, boy, I'm telling you what, listen, this is what happens when I miss a day or two or a week or two, guys. I'm just like, you got to ride this train with me. I'm almost done. I had this part where I wanted to finish as 18 more verses, 19, but we'll get there. Okay, I'm kidding. Satan also used the Jewish leaders, right? The Jewish leaders, the religious leader of the day, Satan uses them. He uses them. Look here, in his effort to hinder Christ's mission to die on the cross, Matthew 12:14. Check this out. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Jesus how they might destroy him. Why would they plot against Jesus except for they're of the children of Satan? Oh, guys, make no mistake about it. Just because someone's behind the pulpit doesn't mean they're behind Jesus. I'm just saying that out loud. And so we find him, don't have to go there, but Matthew 27, 20 through 23 talks about it. Go to John 8, 44. This is where Jesus is bold. John 8, 44. It says this, he's talking to the Jewish leaders, these people that claim to be the righteous or the religious. You are of your father, the devil. How's that for being politically correct? Can you imagine being Jesus today and looking at someone and saying, let me help you out. You're of your father, the devil. You'd be like, oh no, remember, because we're already intolerant and toxic. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it, and you're from him. Wow. And this is Jesus talking to the religious leaders. How insane is that? Oh my goodness, guys. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy continues, and he'll stop at nothing in his efforts to oppose Christ. How? By twisting the gospel. And I'm going to take a minute with this, and I know that I'm going over, but I've only got one more point after this and a couple more verses, and I will be done. Thank you guys for your patience and your tolerance, and this is why they told me not to speak a lot, but I can't help myself because I get excited when I start preaching. And let's go to this one, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, where it talks about this twisting the gospel, because that's what we have today, right? We got this social gospel. You got to make them feel good. We can't offend them. Oh my gracious, if you offend them, they don't want to come back. And if they don't want to come back, they're not going to get saved. And why are you out on a mission field if you're going to offend people? Stop it! Right? I'm just saying, but look here. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, Jesus, who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I marvel how you can so quickly join Satan. That means you weren't really saved, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are people out here preaching the wrong gospel. Why? Listen, I want every chair filled. Guys, I'd love for every chair to be filled. I would love for it. I really would. We got, 185 chairs in here. We got roughly probably 110, 120 people in here this morning. I would love for every chair to be filled. I will not compromise this to make it happen. Will not. But there are some that do pervert the gospel, right? Live your best life now. I don't know who said that, but somewhere. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. You didn't get it the first time. Let me repeat it. So even they were slow back then too. Just kind of saying. Go to 1 John 1, 4, 1 through 4. Beloved. Remember now, beloved is a Christian, nobody else. Because remember, nobody else can be saved but the Christian, and the scriptures don't apply here except for to the Christian. Beloved, Christian. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and he is the only way to heaven. Christian, that Christian. Not the Oprah Christian, and not the Obama Christian, and not the these late night talk show ho Christians. You got it, right? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. If there's any part of them that denies this, they're not of God. Let me say that again, because just like Paul, they're not of God, or John. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's many out there, guys, that are going to preach and teach a lie. Next. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Next. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Next. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so we have people who are trying to pervert the gospel. That's Satan. And let me help you here. Boy, I mean, this is where I get in trouble, but man, I'm already there, so I might as well just keep digging. Joyce Meyer. If you listen to Joyce Meyer, turn her off. And you're like, who are you? I'm Pastor John. Glad to meet you. Turn her off. Why? Because she perverts the gospel. And if you listen to her, she's like, hey, it took me a long time to realize once I got saved, I'm no longer a sinner. Oh, honey, you just sinned. Let me help you. And then she takes scripture and perverts it in her Bible notes that she has out, right? Because it's just all about money. Let me make money, 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 money. She's perverting the gospel. And you say, well, it's just that's the only place she does it. How do you know? You're not even studying. She perverts it in a bunch of places. Turn her off. Turn her off. Kenneth Copeland. Ward him off. I'm just saying. And you're like, who are you to talk about others? Man, I am your shepherd telling you that they are wolves. Joel Osteen, you've already heard that 1,000 times. Oprah Winfrey, there's 1,000 more. Turn them off. Turn them off. Turn them off. Satan's plan, and I finish with this. And thank you, if you're visiting with us today, thank you for being patient and riding this train with me. I'm a little zealous this morning. Satan's also attempting to ruin God's redemptive plan. He doesn't want you saved. Matthew 13, 38 and 39. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The tares, they join and they look like us, but they're really not us. But you can't tell it until it's time for the harvest. And guys, the harvest is coming. That's a whole nother sermon. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Man, I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to be good. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Keep rolling, guys. Whose minds the God of this age, the God, little g of this age, was blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Listen, you're not going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God until you surrender to him. And the God of this age, Satan, he's blinded your eyes. And you're like, he hasn't blinded my eyes. That's proof right there. He's blinded your eyes because you don't believe. And I'm telling you, this is your life is hanging in the balance of this. Next verse, please. Yeah, that'd be the next passage you have, which should be 2 Corinthians. Was that 2 Corinthians? I'm so worked up here. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, listen, guys, if you don't surrender to Christ, you're not going to heaven. You have no hope. Whatever you have today, that's the best it's going to get. This is it. It's just it. I've already shown you how Satan wants to dominate you. He wants to take you down. And by the way, he's not going to bother you if you're already his because, well, why would he spend a whole lot of time on you? You're already his. He's not going to come after you until you leave his camp and join Jesus. And I just want to give you that opportunity to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and I'm not going to do anything to coerce you or to move you, you're going to have to make a decision. And it's really quite simple that's all it is a decision. You're either going to believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're not. It's that simple. And if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, this is what it looks like. You have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's at the right hand of the Father, he conquered death and hell, and that he's the only way. The Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, and that is your only way out of this mess, then guys, you are not going to heaven otherwise, and it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you give, nothing matters but that you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and him only as your Lord and Savior. And if that's your desire, you pray this prayer and you pray it quietly to yourself. And understand, the words aren't magical. This is just kind of like a roadmap where I can walk you through the process, if you will, and give you a timestamp where you can say, this day, on purpose, I made a decision to give my life to Jesus Christ. and make him my Lord and Savior. That's all this prayer is, guys. It is not the words that save you. It is that in your heart of hearts, you believe the words you're about to pray. This is just a map, a roadmap to walk you through it. If it's your desire to give your life to Jesus, you pray this prayer quietly into yourself. Jesus, today I admit I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I can't heal myself. I can't fix myself. But today, I believe you died on the cross for me. Today, I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man, no person can get to heaven, can get to the Father, except through you. Today, I surrender. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, and today I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Today I repent. I'm no longer going to walk in the direction of the world. I'm going to turn and I'm going to walk in your direction. I'm going to walk towards you. I repent. Today, Jesus, I surrender all to you.